This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Yo, you listening to the Oprah Rose Show with TT and Gigi, and yeah, get it poppin'.
Thoughts. Everything begins with thoughts.
She's a slut, she's a hoe, she's this, she's that.
We say to girls, you can have ambition, but not too much.
It's about people being uncomfortable with women owning their sexuality.
What is the truest, highest vision that you hold for yourself?
I'm a real-ass bitch, and I'm gonna get everything that I'm gonna get on my own.
I know for sure. You don't get what you wish for. You get what you believe.
It's GG and TT and DD and yeah.
Get it poppin'.
Get it poppin'.
Thoughts. Everything begins with thoughts.
Okay.
Everybody, it's TT. What's going on, everybody? It is Mr. Oprah Rose. Well, I don't know. Am I Mr. Oprah Rose? Because Daryl is Mr. Oprah Rose.
I don't need the mister.
Oh, hello. So
it's cool.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay.
Childish. But yes, welcome. This is episode 200.
Woo.
Cannot believe it.
That's crazy.
Official
nigga
podcasters.
Man.
200. If the listeners at home, if you don't know, but you probably do know, I am Mouse Jones, aka the man who puts the juxtaposition, also known as the secret producer of
the secret
the Oprah Rose show,
the ghostwriter.
I am the
ghostwriting producer.
The Oprah Rose show.
You know, I came in there in a transition period, and you know, we've been on up and up. And you know, I'm just the quiet guy in the back. I love.
What was the transition?
Right. What was the transition? Period?
Yeah, I went from decent to amazing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cheers to that.
Like, there's a bomb in the Gilead.
Okay.
Medicine used in the Bible days. Wow. So 200. So I want to talk to you guys about your journey to 200. First and foremost, I think the question that is on all your listeners' mind is, how did the Oprah Rose show become the Oprah Rose show?
Like with the name?
The bigger than the name. I think just the podcast itself, like, podcasts are bigger than, well, you would hope that podcasts are bigger than just people sitting in a room talking, right? You're
right. Yeah.
Literally creating the foundation for a community, right? Like, your listeners become a part of the community. Then, you know, now we got Patreon and there's live shows. This is an actual community. People tune in to hear you guys. You guys help people throughout their week, throughout their day, throughout their problems. If anybody writes into y'all, that lets you know just how much y'all words mean to people. So the Oprah Rose show, y'all created a community. Mm-hmm. I want to know, when did that begin? Whose idea was that? How did y'all come together and say, okay, we're setting the groundwork for this foundation?
Such a loaded question. I mean, I think, you know, obviously the show started off with just G and I. We have kind of explained how we got started. And G and I, we met working together at Motown. And we would have, this is when, you know, G-Chat AIM was big. So we used to always have G-chat conversations and be kikiing at work. You know, you're supposed to be working. We wasn't, child. And then
Not ever.
And then I think we had some, like, another colleague was like, you guys should have a podcast. And at the
what
time,
year is this?
Yeah, I was saying that was like,
2012, 11.
I was going to say 9, but you also know I have no concept of time.
When then somebody said to do the podcast?
Yeah.
And you, did you guys, that's why I asked, because were you guys aware of podcasting?
No. And I think it was like, oh, you crazy as shit. Like, anybody doing that? It was like 2010. And then,
because I think it was like they were saying a show. There wasn't like a specific podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
like,
I don't think.
I'm like, yeah, they had
like,
to be.
I think we knew.
It might have been a show. Yeah.
Because if y'all didn't, y'all owed them a check. Because y'all should have definitely been on it. 2010. That would have been the biggest thing. There were no black voices in podcasting at the time. I think you had, at the time, you had Juan Epp, you had It's the Real. And even they were not doing a waste of time with It's the Real. They were still just doing these lofty sketches.
Yes.
They were doing like more like recorded sketches they were doing. Mm-hmm. So podcasting really hadn't been a thing. So if y'all would have started back then,
we'd be millionaires.
Right.
I mean,
it's the journey.
I mean, trust me, the three of you are definitely on
on our way.
On the way.
We talked about it. Right.
There's no
about
shortage of the millionaires here, okay?
Being where you are. We talked about that last week.
Where were you guys mentally, emotionally? Where were you guys as women at that time?
Oh, my God.
We were a hot fucking mess. I think that's also kind of why we started to grow, because we were really relatable. And we were very honest about, I think, a little bit of oversharing.
It was a whole lot of bit of oversharing, TMI.
You know, but that's what people love, because, you know, I think the reassuring thing is that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you're experiencing something that may be embarrassing,
sad,
or even like, you know, happy joy moments. We haven't hesitated to share like our highs, our lows, and just overall our experiences as women. So I am not embarrassed or ashamed or regretful of having overshared, of having like...
I am.
Speak for yourself, sis.
But I think y'all did a good job of it, because I was even like a fan of the show before I worked on the show and became a part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like those first 50 episodes were very honest. And you all were just very open and being like, no more parties in LA. And
that episode
is like, if y'all have never heard that one, it's like episode 4 or something crazy.
Are we still hiding episodes?
No, and they're not. And I hate that episode so much.
I would have conversations with TT about these things that were going on. And so to hear both of your stories and be like, oh girl, what? I didn't hear that part of the story, because G fills in the gaps kind of thing. So I really appreciate it. Hearing how vulnerable y'all were. And, you know, sometimes we talked about even going back to that a bit, because I think once we actually had structure to the show and understood what we wanted to talk about, that vulnerability kind of left a little bit, because everything was very like by the script. And so I do miss that a little bit. So we might have to add that more.
But I think as we grew, also just like grew as individuals, you know, I think it, again, we also talked about this. It's very difficult for me to be vulnerable now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think as I've like grown professionally and, you know, and everything.
Does Mr. Oprah Rose want to say something?
No, I'm just listening, child.
Okay.
Just listening.
Fly
on the wall.
It's something that I struggle with. And I think, you know, because we really did not know what we were doing, not even that we didn't know what we were doing in the beginning, but it was just fun, I think, initially. It was like low-key, like a therapy. It was therapeutic. It was like a diary that you didn't have all these like, oh, I can't say this, I can't do that, no one's going to hear this. Because initially, you know, it was just like, anybody going to hear this, I can say whatever.
Right, right.
You know, where now it's definitely a little bit more reserved.
When was the first time you realized that is not the case?
Somebody said something that I said, and I was like, oh, I don't like that. Like, you know,
they like repeat it back to you.
Yeah, something, a story. And I was like, oh, I don't think I like that. Mm. Like, I don't like that. It was something funny. But I remember just being like, I didn't like it. Like, I didn't, not even that you were pulling my coattail because I said it, but I just was like, I don't think I like that.
Mm-mm. It's giving your slipper showing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was like, I don't like that.
Well, let's talk about that, right? Because you guys, one, I wanted to circle back to what G said earlier. You said oversharing. You specified it as oversharing. Mm-hmm. Why do you feel it's oversharing, especially in spaces, especially when you guys came out, there weren't any spaces where black women were, you know, exploring the industry, experiencing the industry, which is completely different for women today. There are no spaces where these stories are being told and these lives are being exposed. So why did you feel it was oversharing? Like, where did you have the line that was like, this is okay, and now we're over here?
Because I think before, I didn't have the ability to have a little bit of tact.
Mm.
You know, I think now, to me, that's important. Like, although I still want to be as authentic as I possibly can, which that isn't really an issue for me. But I think the way that, you know, we shared in our earlier episodes, you know, being fucked up every time you like record,
literally
warrants, you know, you did not really think about what you say. And then hearing it back sometimes is a little cringeworthy. Mm. So I would say that, but I don't, you know, I don't really have any regrets. However, I think it was just like the way we would kind of share stories and or at least for me, the way I would share it in, you know, before in the earlier days. So
that leads me to the question I really want to ask, which is at this point, which all three of you have, you know, reached mile marker successes. You guys are still part of underserved, underrepresented communities, right? You guys, this podcast just existing is like a stand, right? It's a. I don't want to say it's a point of contingency, but it's a protest, right? Just this space existing the way it exists with two black women, a gay black man. It's a protest. It's no, we're not doing this. We're doing this. How do y'all find it in yourselves to continue to do that? Like Daryl just said, like continue to be yourselves, your authentic selves, and still put out this product, but not, I guess, muddy the waters.
Yeah. I mean, shit is always happening. I feel like life, it just continues. And I know we've done 200 episodes, and I'm sure we've talked about similar themes and similar concepts, but it's just evolving. And I think y'all got to forgive my voice. I've been screaming all night. Child.
The girls were out last
night. Y'all probably listening to this like, what's going on with you?
Child. Yeah. He had the gun in the mimosa.
Gun in a mimosa. Yes, literally. That was me last night in LA.
I got a new Forges on it.
Literally that.
Literally, that's why I said that. Because mine is the same way. It is what? Going in and out. My voice.
Oh, your voice. Yeah. Yeah. Like we were out. We was in the outside. So
we was in the outside.
Right.
I love Daryl's
in the outside.
Because you know, $100 is $10 now.
Hello.
So
literally,
over 200 episodes, I feel like we've just connected with people. Like, I find it so fucking dope when our listeners actually like respond to our personal pages and like talk about the things that we've talked about on the show. I actually had a guy come up to me one day in the gym and just talk about the fact that he was excited to always listen on Wednesdays because he doesn't hear our voices anywhere else. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting to me because there's so many podcasts now.
So many.
And when y'all started podcasting, it wasn't that many kind of thing. And so now it's been like a boom. But I was just like, that's just so dope to me for somebody to just hear the bullshit that we going through and feel as though he can connect to that. But yeah, I mean, I just feel like life just continues. So it's always going to be shit to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with social media. And it's like when you just see everyone's perfectly curated, picture perfect lives and, you know, everything looks so perfect and no one's ever sharing like the lows and the valleys of stuff. It's like, no, shit is not okay all the time. Like it's not, everything is not, you know, a Dior bag and a trip and or whatever else. Mm-hmm. Like people really go through stuff. And I think especially for younger generation specifically, I think it's so important to for them to hear that and know that, because everybody thinks that shit is like overnight or you become an influencer or you get this dream job or whatever it is in like a month. And it's like there's steps and all of that is a journey. And I never want like I said, younger generations to ever like lose sight of there is a journey to the steps and it's never going to be overnight, of it.
And I want to even piggyback off of that, too, because I even think about the show. And obviously, we've been doing this. Y'all been doing it for longer than I have. And it's been over 5 years. And
a gag.
Gigi.
A gag.
When I tell you, Gigi will always be on top of us. Like, we got to do this ad. We got to show up here. We got to do this and we got to do that. I'll be like, yes, Gigi, we're going to do it, bitch. Like, because I remember we were supposed to do, an episode because we had an ad opportunity. And we were like, child, we might have to just forego that little money. But what I love is that the show has even taken on a new life. And part of that is also just showing people like it's a journey. And we've been doing this for such a long time. We didn't start off with ads and shit. Like, and then when people hear it, they're like, oh my God, y'all.
What's an ad?
Like an ad, like just, you know, a company looking at our show and being like, oh, we want to like partner with y'all. Like that's still dope to me, even if somebody hits us up tomorrow about it.
Which we have one more. Perfect segue. again, you know, as soon as we leave here, we are going to celebrate our 200th episode.
Okay, we're getting some french fries. I'm loving it.
Yes. I know y'all are so sick and tired of hearing ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No, but we love it coming from you, doll.
The ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Yes. Do it one more time. Sing it for us.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm loving it. You know what? What's your favorite thing to get at McDonald's? You know, we've talked about our
Tory Burch flats.
We have talked about our love of a quarter pounder with cheese. Mine is no pickles, no onions, a fry, and an apple pie. What is your favorite thing to get at McDonald's?
French fries. That's it. I don't eat that mess.
You? Oh my god.
Hey, yo. You, did you hear what I just said before? You said the comment, how I was proud.
Listen, that's y'all. Y'all supposed
to. Because
y'all
are
the Oprah Rose show.
Aren't you Mr. Oprah Rose?
I am Mr. Oprah Rose. What do you mean? I am a guest.
Mr. Oprah Rose.
All right, recut it. Ask me again. Because I really was annoyed. I was like, all right, ask me again.
Annoyed at what?
Because McDonald's.
We don't cut. God.
I'll eat the fries. You know I eat the fries. It's here. You watch me eat the fries. Everybody has seen me eat the goddamn fries.
We are literally going to
fries have me in a fucking chokehold. I can't get rid of them. That fucking apple pie shit is so good.
On that note, we have to pause for our McDonald's ad, and we are going to celebrate with our favorite. My favorite, a quarter pounder with cheese. No pickles, no onions. Mm-hmm. Love that thing.
That's going to come out fresh because you get it a little altered.
Yeah, exactly.
Use your fucking sandwich.
Put my kufi on with my red eyes. Yes. Like, yes.
And if you want fresh fries, get them with no salt.
Really?
Because anytime they got to alter it, they got to make it fresh. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. You gonna get salt on your french fries?
Oh, yeah, you gotta get me salt on them things.
I need a little salt.
Kill me. If I'm going to die, kill me. Don't play with it.
I'm gonna do it. Right?
Yeah, bury me with some McDonald's french fries and an apple pie and a sundae.
What?
Yeah. And bury me a G, okay?
Yes. No, they're gonna,
I'm the Oreo McFlurry, though. That's Oreo my McFlurry girl.
Now, what McDonald's do you go to that you can actually get the Oreo McFlurry?
Elkhart's
finest.
Where the ice cream
machine always works.
The ice cream machine always works in Elkhart.
Yes,
I believe it because it don't work nowhere else.
Shout out to McDonald's.
Back to the show. Shout out to McDonald's.
It was given very Soul Train midday WB black McDonald's commercial. That's what that was giving.
It was. But that's the show. It's fucking relatable. And that's what I love about when people listen to it. I even listen back. I remember when I first started coming on the show, I hated my voice.
And I remember that.
It was like hard to like listen back and being like, ooh, girl, you sound crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I use women pronouns for myself.
We know that.
I was gonna say y'all are a different level.
You too, also.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right.
I was gonna say y'all are a different level of successful on this podcast because I never heard that introspection before. I use female pronouns for myself. Just wanted to let you guys know. I never heard that preference before. Shout out to you.
Sometimes you gotta let people know. They don't be knowing what's going on. They're like, did he just say she?
Right, but he's male presenting.
And be confused.
It's confusing.
Early on, I was very confused. I would hear you and some voice say that. I'd be like,
and you know, everything is female. About? Like, be like, pass me her, and it would be a
everything
glass.
Is a woman.
Like everything.
The first time I heard Tiara and G say she's cute, and they were talking about. Like liquor, and I was like, "What?" It's inanimate. How
everything?
She's cute.
Yeah.
Yes, we love our gay slang.
Love it.
Love it. Gotta pay homage
because that's where it comes from.
It is. Yeah. We love it.
It can take over your vocabulary if you like.
It really can.
It has,
and I use it at work.
I do too. Absolutely. No, I really do.
I try to think about what I'm going to say before I say it, so I don't say like I don't want to be at work in a meeting talking about yeah she's carrying like.
I'd be in me and talking about boots.
I think you should pull that out one time at the work. So,
but
at
honestly,
the
no, I do. I think it's still. I mean, granted, if you work, if you're like a CPA, yeah,
right.
Or something like that. But like, if in spaces that aren't as traditional, I think it is so important, like to use the same vernacular and be the same person. Right. I literally called someone she the other day. It was like an artist. I was like, I don't like her. That's what it was. I was like, I don't like. Somebody was like, male artist. And I was like, I'm sorry. I was like that. Him. Like I was, but certain things. I'm like, no, y'all are gonna get this. Everybody, right. Like, you cannot buy this culture. I feel yeah. like so we have to literally be us, which is completely even going back agree. To the show, like right. in every aspect of everything to try to like fully be ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think it's very, very important.
And that's what I was gonna ask next. Has this podcast, doing this podcast for 5 years, has it emboldened you? Has it caused you guys to show up as yourselves everywhere outside of, you know, instead of having to live this very, this is podcast DD, right. this is podcast GG, this is podcast TT, and this is work TT, this is work GG, this is work DD. Like, has it broken that wall for you?
Absolutely, because I used to compartmentalize. Mm. You know, I would think that, you know, especially when you work like in white America or corporate America, excuse me, but just what's AKA white America. You know, you get, I don't say insecure because I was never insecure, but you kind of gatekeep or code switch or whatever. And then, you know, one day I was like, I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, like I am a disservice to myself. Like you said, T, I'm a disservice to myself and I'm a disservice to who I represent, you know, not being me 100%. Now, I would never like hide who I am, but I would like reel it in a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, and now I don't do none of that shit. You know, like you're going to give me 1000%. I'm going to show up as myself, you know, and if you don't like that, that's fine. But I got more respect, yeah. I think, that way, yeah. you know, from my, and there are people who, you know, don't like it, but I like I said, I don't really care.
That means you're doing something right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so, that's it.
Absolutely. If I'm being 1000% me, you have a problem with me being me.
Okay,
I am being yeah. me the best I can be. Then,
mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you was a lot though. But
yeah, I was like, listen, Chad, you wrote the textbook. You wrote the textbook on that.
No, this is about the Oprah Rose show. just want to continue.
But
to
going back to G and the code switching, I always had a difficulty with that because I think being a gay black male,
yeah,
code switching is a thing. Like, I gotta for sure. show up in different spaces for different people. But what I love now is, and even with the show, it kind of brings it all together for me. And I think even like the pandemic helped from a work perspective, because y'all, I'm home, like, so yeah. I'm not about to, you know, present myself in this way that I probably would have in this corporate setting. I'm home. So y'all go and get who I am in this space, because I can't turn it on and off, because Six is Poppy going to come out and ask me something and I'm going to respond to him in a way that I'm not talking to you. I'm not right. doing all that.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. the hell? Where's Oliver? So,
where the hell is Oliver? Damn,
where the
it?
Dog
no,
at?
Where's Oliver?
But yeah, I do think the show, to your point, Miles, has definitely helped me, especially in that being able to just speak more and speak openly and be who I am and, you know, she, her, his, and all the things.
All the yes. things. Yes, all the things.
Double T's. T to the second power.
I think for me, it actually helped just to, like, organize my thoughts a little bit more. You know, I have a lot of tabs open at times.
Oh, you know what? Not to cut you off. Please don't forget what you were saying. But it really actually made me think about that, because, you know, yesterday when we were talking outside of the show, we were just talking. You were talking about how Ryan shared this meme with you and mm-hmm. how you storytell.
Yeah,
and how it absolutely makes no fucking sense.
None.
But the people who are close to you can, like, we speak Tiara, if that makes sense.
You have to speak,
Tiara. So I understand exactly what she's saying.
I'm a horrible storyteller.
But on the show, you're perfect.
I can, like, we ain't gonna say perfect, but like,
did y'all read that?
Okay, I'm so, we have a friend in the studio trying to tell an example.
We have a guest.
Hey, Chanel was a former guest. She was like very early episode.
Right, episode 10.
Were you the very first guest?
No, I wasn't the first.
No, it was Dwayne. My bad. Dwayne was. Okay.
Oh, wow. Hi, guys.
Hey, girl.
I just had to jump in because this was literally like a month ago, and she was at Trader Joe's. And she's like, girl.
I'm on Bram.
She's like, girl, I was at Trader Joe's, and this man was dying, and Mouse is giving me CPR. But yeah, I bought some flowers. And I'm like, wait, what? And I was like, And I had to like piece it together. And then in the end, I was like, backtrack.
So did he live?
Exactly. I was
so
like,
so many questions.
Did he die? You know, why are we talking about flowers? And she's like, but yeah, girl, this is what you need to pick up from Trader Joe's because, you know, but yeah, he's fine. He's still alive somewhere over there.
His life.
Like, was that what happened? Yeah. Exactly.
You gave CPR?
It wasn't CPE, but he like.
CPR, like I just.
The Heimlich?
I gave him a chest rub and then like just gave him water.
Where you learn that? I didn't know.
Dumas has like 60,000 lives.
Weren't
he has
you like in the Navy or something.
Yeah, he has 60,000 lives.
Oh, that's right.
Lives,
okay, so
yeah.
The guy. Okay.
And you know me, I was standing there like he was helping this poor man. He was a homeless man.
But that's the thing. Like she gave me no context, so I literally had to piece it together and then regurgitated back to her and was like, "Did I get this right?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, girl. Let me just tell you." But it was like an hour and a half into the conversation. And it started, literally picked up the phone. Oh, yeah, girl, I was at Trader Joe's. This man was dying. Mouse gave him CPR. But yeah, girl, these flowers. And this is what you, and I was like.
Probably they had octopus, too. You know they got octopus now. And they ran out of lotion. Like, I was probably more focused
that
on
that. All yeah. That same day.
All that same day.
But
yeah,
she wouldn't know it was the same day. So, yes.
Well, story I'm trying to do a little better. And I think the podcast does help me to structure my thoughts a little bit more. And I think just also with like public speaking, it's not as, I think I don't get as like nervous. I am very shy in those settings. But it doesn't make me as shy. I guess just from like doing it every week.
Plus one.
Yeah. That I'm like, oh, okay, I can like do this. Like I got this. This is fine.
Yeah. Yes. I hate public speaking.
But I hate it.
Now I can talk to anybody. I mean, I can always talk to anybody on a one-on-one setting kind of thing, but presenting my ideas to a group of people, I'm like, oh my God, I'm nervous.
It's scary. Yeah. I always like start with a joke and then be like, okay, didn't
that break the ice?
Well, yeah.
Like, all right.
That's why people do icebreakers.
Yes. Yeah, I always.
I remember the live show, we were nervous. And then we got up stage and it was
fine. Yeah.
No, go ahead. I was just going to just want to say, like, ever since Daryl's been on this show, like, I would never have gotten that about you because I have had one-on-one interactions with you. So when you came on the show, I would have never gotten that. I was like, oh, this is his space. This is where he thrives even more because I already always enjoyed your energy.
I didn't really speak till I was like 16, so.
Not 16. Wow.
Literally.
All right, y'all. I'm about to go back to my seat. Wow. You would never know.
So who would you talk to? Yes, sister?
No, she was younger than me.
Thank you, Chanel. Thank you. Clap it up for Chanel.
Clap it up.
Thank you,
Hip-hop love child.
So, Daryl, let's talk about you. Okay. Right, the DD of the TT and GG, right?
Yeah.
What was your introduction to the show? Like, how did you go from being a listener to being producer to now being producer talent?
Right, because now Alyssa's producer now.
Hello?
Okay.
Stop playing with Alyssa like that,
stop
nigga.
Stop playing on Alyssa name.
Okay.
Pralyssa.
They call her Big Purr.
Okay.
Please
back. But yeah, I was a fan of the show. Loved it. Listened to the first episode. I loved
it. Because you and Tiara grew up together.
Basically.
Okay.
Well, y'all got to listen to 197.
Yeah. A couple episodes ago, we talked about
just for like Dee Dee. Because he never, I feel like, had like a 197, had like an introduction.
Oh my day.
And so with me being on, I didn't talk about this part on that episode, but I was actually a guest. Mm-hmm. It was episode 36, Drunken Hot Girls.
Better remember. That's yeah, right. With Kenny.
We came to Brooklyn's old place with the high ceilings, sounds bouncing off the walls.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. We had that singular mic.
We were surrounded with
it
one mic.
It was Nas one mic, child. Yeah, it was definitely, it was giving Clubhouse one mic.
And so I remember.
Let me land.
One mic.
Come on, land it.
And so,
hey, big dog, you got land, bro. Let me know when you're ready, big dog. They're gonna be like, come on, big dog, you got land.
I love that. The fact that it's also Clubhouse vernacular is crazy.
Clubhouse vernacular.
And I think during that episode, I remember leaving and being like, this is a dope ass concept. Like, I enjoyed talking about just things that were going on with me that could probably help somebody else. And was like, all right, I'm going to help you out with y'all sound. Like, that was my way of, like, getting in because I remember just, like, listening to the show and remembering the first thing you hear is y'all. And I think the sound was just like, all right, we got to figure this out. And that's when we started going to Ty.
Mm-hmm.
Ty lived in Harlem. I was like three blocks down the street from the studio. So for me, it was just easy to go.
Shout out to Ty.
Right. I saw Ty recently. He was on a bike in Harlem, just riding a bike down Lenox and like yelled my name. I was like, oh my God, Ty.
Ty probably got a whole garden in his backyard or some shit.
Another person that lives many
he
lives
botany
so many lives
but yeah, like doing that and then, you know, helping the show to come together and then always being on the mic and was also hesitant to be on the show.
I think Mouse was like, Didi needs to be on the show.
I've been, that was easy. So when I come on y'all show the first time, I've been podcasting since like 2014, and like I had, you know, as everybody knows, I came up under OG Reg, rest in peace, Combat Jack, Tax. So it's just like I have a different ear when it comes to podcasting. So like if ever I'm on someone's podcast, I'm not even really, and I don't know if it's a disservice, but I'm never really like just there. I'm like, all right, this could be better, and this move kind of makes sense. So I remember like just leaving and was like, why is he not a member of the show? And then I just, you know, I was just going on. I'm just like, make Daryl a part of the show. What's wrong with y'all? Like, just make him a part of the show.
It was given Robin from the Howard Stern show.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I actually preferred it to be that way at the time.
But it's different from when you get somebody's opinion, right? Hey, what do you think about what we're talking about?
Right.
Than when you come in and now it's what are we talking about, right? And it's just like if you think about, you know, you just put a drop of ink in the water, the entire cup is now different. Mm. You know what I mean? And then saying like, oh, well, that's this cup of water and that's this cup of water. No, you drop that just one piece of something else in this thing and now we have what's here.
Come on. Yeah. You better say I made it colorful.
Right.
You definitely give a different perspective. Pose. Me and T just be like, and then Didi is like,
but yeah, because you know, I'm in one note, like my voice don't go high,
which is what I remember. I'm like, no, because you guys inflect and you guys are here. Daryl, he cuts through it, he cuts through it, and it kind of just brings it all back to center.
I'm losing my voice today, y'all. Ground us, come on, Blanca.
Now, how rough is it to keep this show narrative and keep this show relationship? How rough is that when compared to keeping the real relationship?
It's the same. Yeah. I think it's the same.
Yeah.
We pride ourselves on being friends first because we didn't do the show not
real friends,
knowing.
Real friends. Okay. Real friends. Friends. That twice yesterday. I mean, also, if you go back to what was that?
The Carter is so slept on, y'all need to run it back.
We listened to it twice yesterday. It's such a great album. But yeah, in referencing 199, like we literally talked about that, like those same issues. And I really, it's a luxury. And I'm so thankful, I always said, we're rooted in friendship. So we don't have like these like petty ass, like bickering and whatever issues that just friendships typically have. Yeah. So obviously if we don't have that in our friendship, which is, you know, the base of it, like we're not going to have that in the podcast.
Yeah. I think our bickering was somebody's not answering in the group chat.
Yeah,
that's like as much as the bickering goes.
That's as much as
and then
goes.
like if Didi doesn't buy a flight to Jamaica, like that's basically
right.
You know.
That's the end of our friendship.
Put pressure on these niggas. My fault. Get back in.
Fuck both of y'all.
No, my fault. My fault. If you want me to go,
you can pay for the flight.
I'm just the interviewer. Thanks. This is about Oprah show.
Aren't you Mr. Oprah Rose?
But this is the Oprah show. There's no TT, GG, DD, Mousy. There's no. y'all didn't call her in to rework the audio. So I'm still just a guest.
Produce the show, Mouse. Produce the show.
Next case.
Next case. Next so case. Speaking of that, right? I want to talk about the actual, like I spoke about earlier, I want to speak about the actual community you guys have built over the past 5 years. What has that been like, seeing your fans, speaking to them, interacting with them? Like, what has that been like?
I mean, it's great. It's like, you'd be like,
huh? Typically, you guys are three people who, in your own individual lives and own individual wants, are not people that want it to be in front of the camera, want it to have fans. Everybody does something kind of behind the scenes. So now you guys come together collectively and do this very much in front of the camera thing. And now the people who were behind the scenes, now you have fans. What is that like?
Crazy.
Yeah, there's a little awkward. Not like a bad awkward, but when people, you know, express and say like, oh, I really love this, or this meant a lot to me, or, you know, that even little shit like that was funny. It's still always like, damn, you think I'm funny? Like me? I helped you. Oh, shit. You know, because I don't, you know.
And you probably be high when they say it.
No, I be high. What depends on what time of day.
G be like,
depends on what time of the day.
Really, I did that?
Not with that face. I said that.
Okay.
Now that is real. I said
that. I know.
With the eyes closed.
Eyes closed. Right, eyes
halfway closed. Yes. But, like, there's immense gratitude there. You know, like, so much gratitude to be had when, you know, people relate to what you've been through, whether it be good things, bad things. You know, because we live for us, but it's always refreshing when, you know, you just connect with, and that continues to happen. You know, we continue to connect, and that alone lets me know that we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Plus one.
Yeah. I mean, to Mouse's point, we're and what we do in our lives, we are in the background helping other people in their careers kind of thing. So even doing this show is putting us in the forefront. And I remember when we had that party, A Time for Love or A Text Back, and this guy was like, he was like, you're Dee Dee because I can't hear your voice. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, but so the another, show.
Another Mouse Jones production.
Early on.
Just the name.
Yeah,
okay.
The name.
Y'all
yeah.
giving him too much.
Child, they're giving me just enough. They're giving me my things, okay?
We're just affirming the
I'm
ghost writing.
I'm burning the flowers, okay?
Right.
I'm joking.
Quentin Miller was on his recognition.
Quentin Miller is always working.
Yeah, Quentin Miller wants all his. He wants all his flowers.
And I got two feet, Joe.
I hate you.
He has one.
I hate you.
Where have you been?
I didn't know he only had one foot either.
And they say what now?
They beat him out the foot.
What? Ooh,
wait, time out. Take a break. What happened?
Beat him out. Meek and them beat him out the foot when they caught him.
When was this?
Like during the beef.
Wow. He lost his foot.
Oh, he always had one foot.
Oh,
but
oh.
Like they caught him lacking and beat him out the foot.
But they didn't beat him out the foot. He only had one foot. Did they beat him out the other foot?
He has a prosthetic.
Yeah.
Oh, beat him out of the prosthetic. Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Yikes. I did not know that. Yeah. Okay, the tea for today.
His little bars, and now that's he got it. Beat up out the foot.
Okay. Got beat up out the foot. The foot was still in the store. He was outside.
Yikes. Oh, my God. Okay,
that was one of the funniest beefs in hip-hop history.
Yikes. Yikes.
Look.
I'm dead. So now I'm put up a picture.
Pulling a proof. Oh. Bye.
Oh, my God.
That foot was still in the store.
This is so sad.
Okay, next case.
Wow. So sad.
What about, I want to talk about this live show. What did y'all learn about yourselves in the live show? Because that's what I typically have learned over, what I mean, four live shows I've done. Three with He Man, Woman, His Club, one with Guys Next Door. After each one of them, I learned something about this baby I'm raising. What was it that you learned about yourselves or the podcast after the live show?
We got Alyssa.
Woo.
That's
clap it up for Alyssa. Yeah. Clap it up.
We got Alyssa.
We got
heard about Coverletta Alyssa. Coverletta Alyssa.
Right. Alyssa came when preparation. When preparation meets, what's the word?
I don't know.
Talent, you talent meets preparation.
When talent meets preparation.
When opportunity.
Oh, meets opportunity.
Right. Okay.
Wait, this was like us struggling to
but God.
Et cetera yesterday.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. You can't.
No, no, we're not even going down that list. No,
we're definitely not going,
not going down that. I don't know what word yet.
I just want everybody to try to spell et cetera and just let us know how
don't
that works
spell
out.
Et cetera. Don't. Just don't.
Is it E-X?
Stop. Just, oh my God. What is it?
We're going to embarrass her.
It's not.
I put an X in there.
You're wrong too. You're wrong too.
Exactly. It's given. We are not avant-garde.
Okay. Oh, it's ETC.
The same way it's spelled in the. Look at her face. Her face said it all.
If given time,
Mouse really tried to save us. He said, "Don't go down that road."
Yeah, he did.
And here we go.
Literally, I'm not gonna say why they were. I'm not gonna say why they were looking to spell this word.
We're not doing that. Yeah.
But what I will say is, when they started spelling this word, I said, "Oh, I'm gonna have fun," and I just sat there quietly and watched the two of them.
I can't.
This one leaned on G, and G talking about, "Girl, it's EXT, girl," and I'm like, "It's EXT, okay."
I say EXT.
No, we're not going there.
Nope, we're not. Next case.
It'd be the Oprah gone.
What we also learned from the live show is that we didn't need a fucking guest. That was the second thing. We got Alyssa.
Oh, yeah.
The second thing is, I think it affirmed that we like were really a unit and could stand on
and
our
we could
own.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's didn't what need I was nobody.
Because yeah. he was just shout out to you, but we like had to pull shit out of him.
Yeah. Did it feel like he thinks he's doing y'all a favor? Like,
it gave that.
I didn't even get that. I think he was just so guarded. And then I was kind of like,
I think he was like going through shit at that time and he didn't want to talk about anything.
And that was the issue.
And why are you here?
Yeah. And it's like he was so guarded and he couldn't talk about anything.
Yeah, did y'all first live show at the Highline Ballroom.
Yeah. Remember being on vacation and Eve called and it was like, I was gagging, like, what?
Yeah, because we were doing it in a wine store.
Shout out to our agent pushing us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that was number three. I was going to say having a community of people that believe in you and support you and was like, nah, bigger, you know. So a lot of things.
And so did I. So did I.
Yeah.
So when is the next one?
Child, well, the panty is over. We wanted to do a live show for 200, New York and LA, and so soon come.
Yeah, but we wanted to make sure that throughout the summer we were still giving our listeners content. G was very, very on point about, I don't want to sacrifice content for time. And I was like, okay, so we're going to still record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they had to yank me because I was like, I was back at work and commuting. And I was like, I want to go outside and play with my friends, guys. I'm sorry. I can't. I'm tired. We all obviously been working all day. But I was like, I'm tired. I can't. So.
But get that too, because you need, like, there needs to be balance. You can't, you know, work all day.
Go, go, go.
Right. Mm-hmm. You got to stop that eye from twitching. So
yes.
That Ashwagandha I bought ain't working.
I was not.
No.
How long you been taking?
What in a
you
Black Panther?
Like 5 days to kick in, I feel like. To really, I only like, took see the
I'm
effects.
Sorry, what is it really
2 days.
Called?
Ashwagandha.
Oh, okay.
It's like a natural, like,
that sound
herb
like a
that's
guest
supposed
on
to, like,
a different world.
It's supposed to, like, settle all your levels somewhere. And, like, relax you and, like, help with stress.
Poor city. Our city in Wakanda.
All the time. It hasn't, but I. Yeah, my eye twitches. No, mine twitches. I can stress? Start talking about work and it just starts to twitch.
It's usually stress related.
That probably that too. Yeah, but it's usually mine is stress usually like for sure. But yeah. Ending questions.
Like I said earlier, this is your baby. You three are parents to the Oprah show. That is your baby. As parents, we hope not to put too much pressure on our kids about what we want them to be. But we always have the thought about what they could be.
Oh, no, I'm going to need an intervention.
Okay. It's the L card at times. So we're going to talk. We're going to be.
Right.
But in regards.
Our life mapped out.
Jesse's life is mapped out.
It's mapped out.
Mm-hmm. You got to have a job in this African-American high school.
Everyone works.
Hello.
Well, in regards to this baby.
The Oprah Rose Show.
The Oprah Rose Show. What is your hopes for this baby? Where do you want this baby to end up?
I mean, we've said it before, you know, so just like manifesting it, but just obviously just continual growth and touching people. And, you know, if it were to turn into a show, let me speak in absolutes, to turn into something bigger that lives outside of a podcast, maybe like a church play, you know.
T.T. what? A church play.
It's Sunday, we're recording, y'all. But. But obviously
she want to be Tyler Perry so bad.
She's
giving David E. Talbert, girl. Not even Tyler.
I want to be Tyler so bad with better wigs.
I mean, honestly, sis. Honestly, if I can speak my shit, niggas is sleeping on us though. If I want to be completely 100,
okay. I agree.
Like, the amount of culture, the amount of TV we fucking watch, the amount of music we consume, mm-hmm. what we provide to our fans, and I'm sure they love what we talk about, we could be doing it for more. Hi, Om. I know y'all
it's
be listening.
It's giving branded content.
Right. I mean, yes. If we're being honest, and I have this conversation, I think, with the two of you the most, I don't even think they sleeping on you yet. I think y'all are still sleeping on you. I think y'all still have these reservations. I'm a read. Hello.
Read with a clap. Okay.
Y'all have these reservations about yourselves and about what you can really do based on what other people say, which is really sick in a thought process, right? Like when it comes to I said, when she'll be like, I'm really tired. We should push the. I said, no, because whatever you're tired from is somebody else's dream. You have zero stake in that. You have zero stake in your company. I mean, I don't know the.
I hear you.
But that company, they don't come to you when it's time to make some money.
Right.
Your company not coming. Oh, your company not coming to you. What's happening? He did not think to say, hey, just want to let you know. No. So at the end of the day, y'all have to take that loyalty or that work ethic that you give to others and turn it inward. And it might be tiring. I know you got a kid and you are about to have a kid and you have Oliver and, you know, it's about to be two times.
She got a kid too.
It's about to be double trouble with you. But in the meantime, in between time, y'all need to turn that on this show. You need to use it. Whatever you want to do, the opportunity's here. You guys are, the resources are there just from y'all's endless amounts of connections.
Right.
The material is there. Like you said, no one watches much TV or consumes much music. So what are you doing with it? No one can sleep on what has not entered the building.
Okay, read.
No one can sleep on what has not entered the building.
We have not had quotes, you know.
They've come.
And they have come, child. And you know, I believe
I just want to let y'all know there's no plus ones.
You better bring it full circle. You better bring church
into salvation. There's no plus one. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, I cannot come get you.
I cannot come get you, neighbor.
If you are not there before the time, I can't come get you. Don't text my phone. I have no plus ones. The Lord said it is you and only. This invitation is not a transfer.
Come on. Oh
wow. Miles Jones, everybody.
Oh my God.
The incomparable Miles Jones.
You know, sometimes
with a friendly read.
Sometimes the word just gets
and
on
reflection.
You.
That was a good one.
That was really good. This is our IP address, I guess. So we gonna enter the room.
That's it.
Okay.
You just got to enter the room.
We gonna enter the building.
Y'all done it so many times before. It shouldn't be that hard, right? You do it. You two show up as unapologetically black women. You show up as an unapologetically gay black man every day.
Every day.
I said it earlier. Your very existence in the spaces that you're in is one of protest. You look back 40 years. There were no TTs where you're at. There were no GGs where you're at. There was no DDs where you're at.
There definitely was no
DDs. None. But you have entered these spaces and you have literally shook the room. You have shook the industry to its core. And now you're sitting and you did all that. You went to school. You survived whatever you had to survive. You're here in your space working for someone else. But you're being passive about the thing that you own.
Wow.
I had to look into the camera.
That is flat.
I heard.
That is flat as grandma's ginger ale.
A word.
flat as grandma's ginger ale. My grandma's ginger ale don't be flat. She don't play about that one.
You're going to have a list of things that are flat
tight.
At this point.
She keep it on
I heard
tight.
You say Appalachian Mountains earlier.
Flat as the plains, girl. The Appalachian Plains.
Flat as Tory Burch.
Flat as Tory Burch.
Flat.
Flat as a Tory Burch.
Flat as the bottom of a Louis Vuitton Neverfull. Flat.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Well, we're done.
Flat as a white woman in high waisted jeans. Flat.
Miles Jones, thank you so much for
thank y'all for having me.
Our most seen or had, what is the word?
Guest on
our
the
most
show.
Had,
yeah.
Our most
our reoccurring
visited, our most
yeah.
most downloaded episode still.
I'm a child.
Mr. 106 in Park, a.k.a. Mr.
Just giving Mr. Oberos hello.
We appreciate you.
Dr. Phil could never.
We appreciate you.
We appreciate
shirt
you.
Shirt is coming. Exclusive merch for you.
Yeah, you have this shirt. You should rock. Yeah, you we got to like
just do get a little printed on the back.
Mad time. What are you talking about?
I know. You need to wear it again. We need to get some. We need to get a little shoot going.
Bye, David. bye, David E. Talbot.
Devisha.
I don't even know you and I hate you.
Wow. Well, guys, bye, you know guys. Where you can find us. You know,
I could like, rate, subscribe. More if they knew they were
everywhere
slaves.
You listen to the podcast. It's been an amazing 200 episodes. Thank y'all so much.
Thank y'all. Yes, and thank the listeners. Thank y'all for tuning in every week.
Every week.
You know, and as always, any comments, feedback, please send them to theoprahroseshow@gmail.com.
Yes.
Like, subscribe, rate wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tell a friend to tell a friend.
And tell a friend to tell a friend.
Yes.
I love y'all.
Peace.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Thank you, Melissa.